Is the Pink of the Bear Radio. Show. The Pink of the Bear Show is on. Real good.
Revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, wake up to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three-piece suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. Commercial for a popper pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother? Yeah, fire. Never come with a warning, a revolution. Everyone addicted to the same nicotine. Everyone addicted to the same gasoline. Everyone addicted to a technicolor screen. Everybody trying to get their hands on the same green. From the banks of the river to the banks of the greedy. All of the rich is taken back by the needy. We come from the country and we come from the city. Play us on a record, you can play us on a CD. All the shit you've given us is fertilizer. The seeds that you planted, you can never brutalize. Now the corporation, you can never globalize it. Like Peter Tosh said, legalize. Girls and boys hear the bass and the treble. Rumble in the speakers and it make you wanna rebel. Throw your hands off, take it to another level. And you never, ever, ever make a deal with the devil. Yeah, fire. Never send you an omen. Revolution never come with a warning. Revolution never come with a warning. Revolution
revolution. That's been a hot topic lately. I've been paying attention to the interwebs. We're going to talk about Russell Brand and his call for revolution on the BBC. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. It has been, almost 3 months since I've done a show, and my apologies to those who listen regularly. As you know, I had things to do, racist run, babies to kiss, ribbons to cut, stuff to burn. Basically, about 3 months ago, I officially stopped posting on Facebook, commenting on anything pertaining to social justice, activism, organizing, agitating, labor history, news, faux news, religion, atheism, capitalism, socialism, communism, anarchism, institutions of power, borders, masters, asshats in costumes with badges and guns, and the environment. I just kind of gave up on it all. I said, you know what, it's time to burn. And I've been out, I went out early to Burning Man this year. Worked on the crew to help set up the city before the festival started. So I spent a month out there, took a week off before and a few weeks after to kind of integrate back into society, into the default world. But I am back. Oh yeah, and then there was that whole working six nights a week, 12-hour shifts. But I'm back. I'll be here for at least the next 6 weeks, weekly on this fine time, this fine appointed time. It is 9 p.m. Pacific. It is, midnight Eastern. They used to do midnight Pacific, but see, now I am no longer on the I'm here on the East Coast, up in Harlem, 141st Street, and I'll be up here for a while with my friend, getting to know the city and getting to know her. Red sex is the best sex. I'm just saying. But anyway, I took some time off and kind of had to do my thing. That thing I do in the desert each year. I don't want to talk about that on the show tonight, but I don't know if you want to call in and ask about it. We can. But at any rate, I'm back, and I'm glad to be here. I don't know who's listening. I don't know nothing. I know I've been drinking. I went out with my friend. We went downtown. Had a lovely time at Nicole Tomasini's house, and a little dinner, a couple cocktails. Got the train, got the bus, the one train. Got back uptown just in time to plug in, sign up for the show, and get up here. I haven't done much research for tonight's show, but that's okay. Tonight it's a winging it kind of a night. But I hear this radio thing is a lot like riding a bicycle. That you do it for a while, you get used to it. You come back to it later, and it's all good. It's all good. If you do want to call in. If you want to call in, it's, what is the number? Look at this. It's 646-200-4444. If you want to talk about anything lefty. So what kind of show is this, Pinko? Are you some kind of Pinko fag? Well, actually, I'd be more like a Pinko commie. But that's all right. We're trying to reclaim the red, man. It's just a little pink right now. But, trying to get fully red up in here. And or fully black or black and red, however. But anything lefty leftist, please call in. If not, man, just sit back, listen. It's radio or it's a podcast, depending on how you listen to it or where you listen to it. I've got some clips. Basically, I think there's some stuff that you've heard before if you've been listening to this show over the years. I didn't have any time to upload any new ones, but I do have some things to talk about. We're going to talk about Russell Brand a little bit, what's going on with him in the news. We're going to talk about, what else are we going to talk about? Let me see. I made some notes earlier this afternoon. Oh, we got to talk about the Lieutenant Pike, not Commander Pike from Star Trek. No, not the man in the box. Whose face was horribly mangled. No, not Commander Pike. We're going to talk about Lieutenant Pike And what he's the guy from the UC Davis that decided to water the hippies with his pepper spray. And he's been in the news. And a lot of people have a lot of thoughts on it. And I think my thoughts are most correct. And I'm going to share those with you. Maybe you will have a different opinion. We're going to talk about why true Christians don't vote liberal. I like that. Oh, and then some really and then a story about Northwestern University and how they honor the troops, the wounded troops, with basically gore porn football uniforms. That really upset me. And then maybe a little bit about the election boycott. Now, today was election day in a lot of places. I know it was here in New York City because my friend Miss Poole, P.E. Nolan. She went and voted for, maybe he's a socialist, but he's running under the Democratic banner, de Blasio, for mayor. We'll see what happens there. I'm not sure. Anyway, I got some thoughts on voting and what it really means. And I think George Carlin had some thoughts, and I think he and I are probably on the same page. So anyway, that's kind of an overview of what's happening, and we'll see how things go. I got myself a bottle of wine, just opened it up, and it is red wine. Tonight's Pink of the Bear Show is brought to you by, Marque de Caca. I don't know. It's some red wine, Rioja, and it's really fine. So I'd suggest if you are drinking wine, always drink red. Better red than dead. It's completely the opposite thing that I used to hear as a child. You're often better dead than red, right? Like, oh, you'd rather be dead than live in an equal and just society. Of course, they didn't tell us that communism was an equal and just classless society and what all that entailed. They just told us it was bad, very bad. But now that I'm a big boy, now that I've grown up, I read books and stuff. I've come to a little different understanding. So now it's better red than dead. I would just share this. For no apparent reason other than it just came into my mind. So I was sitting at the urgent care clinic waiting to submit to a piss test so I could get back to work. This was, 2 months ago. When I got back from Burning Man and I had to get back to work. And I had been gone so long, they had to make me a new hire, and all new hires are subjected to pee tests. I find it very intrusive. I find it something that in a just and fair society, they wouldn't be testing your blood or your pee or anything else. You look people in the eye, you talk about the job, can you handle it, can you not handle it, and that's that. But in this ever-increasing police state that we live in, and this world that we live in, I had to take a piss test, and I didn't like it, but, it is what it is. And there I am sitting there in the office waiting to go fill up my glass in the back room, and the TV machine, and you know how much I love the TV machine, the TV machine is on in the lobby, and CNN's got Charlie Rangel and Michelle Bachmann, and they're just going on and on and on, and talking over each other. Actually, Michelle was doing all the talking over Charlie, which I don't really care, even though Charlie is the, the man from Harlem, right? But at any rate, it was so annoying. It was so intrusive. It was so, it just attacked my eyeballs and my ear holes, and it made me very, very ill. I just do not like the TV machine or anything that the corporate media has to say on any subject. So they had these two on. And you know what? Just a little act of civil disobedience. Just a little thing. I had to let my fingers do the walking, and I stood up from my little chair, and I walked over to that TV. I looked around the room. There's like 8-10 people in there. A couple of them were staring at it. Everybody looked all sad because they had to take piss tests too. Or maybe they had something else going on. But they were all sad and sad-looking and despondent. tired and cranky, and they're watching this crap come out of the TV machine, just attacking us with nonsense, just pure nonsense. I forgot what the subject at that time was, but it doesn't matter if it's coming from CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, which it was in this case, MSNBC, FOX. If it's coming from any of those, it's just nonsense. Anyway, so I got up, and I went over, and I let my fingers do the walking. Now, I just pressed that volume button. I just pressed it, and I pressed it, and I pressed it, and I turned the goddamn thing off. Now, the TV was still on. If they wanted to look at Michelle Bachmann and Charlie Rangel and whatever the bubblehead bleach blonde in the middle was, that's all good. But I turned it off. And you know what? Not a single person complained. Just one of those little things you can do next time you're at a truck stop and they got Fox News on. Just turn it off. Because, see, sometimes it's better to just take action without asking permission. They certainly didn't ask my permission. Hey, would it be okay if we assaulted you with nonsense through the one-way boob tube? No. No is my answer. So I encourage you to do that. In fact, there's a device. There is a device for $19.95. You put it on your keychain. It looks like a keychain. You put your keys on it. It is a keychain. But it's a remote control device, and it's a universal remote, and it only does one thing. It shuts shit off. So you're sitting at the Alamo truck stop, or you're at Denny's, or you're at the doctor's office, you're anywhere. You point it at the TV, and you press the button, and it goes through all the codes for all the manufactured TVs. It takes about 90 seconds to cycle through, and it turns them off. Ain't nobody got time for that. Lying ass, talking heads on the corporate TV machine. See, that's why we don't have commercials on the Pink of the Bear show. Well, two reasons. One, I don't want to assault your eyeballs and your ear holes. But the other reason we don't have commercials is, well, this is clearly an anti-capitalist show. So it's not like I'm going to get a lot of sponsors. And that's okay. That's what indie media is all about. Indie media, I tell you. Here's the wave of the future. And by the way, I do have a chat room open. And howdy-ho to the folks in the chat room. Nice to have you here. Again, if you do want to call in, 646-200-4444 is the number to call. All right? So anyway, I just wanted to share that little thing because any little act of disobedience you can do is a good thing in my view. See, the problem isn't people are acting up. The problem is people are not acting up. And we're just taking it. Increasingly shittier and shittier jobs with fewer benefits, longer hours, higher productivity for the bosses. Just taking it. So my advice is to always do whatever you can to stick it to the man. Just saying, I think, do what you can to stick it to the man. I think that's good advice. And that's the kind of brilliant insight you'll get here on the Pink of the Bear show tonight. A moment of silence. Drink some red wine. Outstanding. Outstanding. Anyway, so we will take breaks during the show. This is a two-hour show, and I've got some clips I'll play instead of commercials. They're much better. But here's the thing that's been bothering me. Well, it bothered me for about 2 days, and talked about it online quite a bit with my fellow comrades and hopefully soon to be comrades of a liberal type that I've collected on Facebook over the years. So there is a story. You may or may not have seen it, but if you remember, UC Davis. The police officer, he's making like $128,000 a year or more, or something like that. He's a campus cop. Now, he's lost his job. What he did is the peaceful protesters were sitting down, and locked arms, and just sitting down on campus. And he decided to water the hippies. Got to water the hippies. And he came by with the pepper spray, military grade pepper spray, and just shot it in everybody's faces, and it was just, it was disgusting. I mean, the man should have been arrested, should have been thrown in jail, assault on, I don't know, 10, 15 people. The whole thing. We talked about it forever on the show. It was a couple of years ago when this happened during the Occupy movement. So he hosed down all these seated peaceful protesters with the pepper spray, you know, getting it directly down their throats and into their eyes. But what, and so he did lose his job. And I think that's great. He didn't go to jail. That's not so great. But see, he applied for workman's comp. Workman's comp, you know, injury on the job. His injury wasn't the pepper spray. His injury was he had psychological or psychiatric injuries. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he suffered, mentally suffered because, well, everybody in the world thought he was an asshole. And he is an asshole. And so, yeah, he probably has some psychiatric injuries because he knows, I mean, you know, he's this horrible, horrible person who did this just stupid and horrible thing. And so he applied for workman's comp because he had some psychological problems. He got more than 17,000 letters from angry folk, angry letters, threatening emails, over 10,000 text messages. Hundreds of letters were sent to Lieutenant Pike after that video went viral, and that's according to the police union. And I'm all for unions, even for the police, I guess. Got to be fair, right? So he changed his phone number a bunch of times, tried to remain or tried to get anonymous. He changed his email address. He moved around. He got a family, moved him around a few times. And he left the campus police force back in, what, July of 2012. So all this is fine and dandy. So, but he got awarded. He got awarded $38,000 in disability pay. And oh my God! See, I got a lot of lefty friends online and in real life, but some of them online, in fact, a lot of them online, almost everyone, they just went nuts when they saw this story. Maybe you did too. Did you go nuts when you saw this story? Oh my God! He got $38,000 payday when he should have been in jail. Oh, the horror! I'm so upset. I'm so mad. How does this shit happen, right? Everybody was upset about it. Everybody was complaining about it. Everybody wanted to see him in chains. Yeah, I do too. But here's the deal. What kind of society do you want to live in? Do you want the mob just to, like, get all emotional and say, fuck that guy. He gets nothing, and listen, without a trial and without a conviction. I ask you, are you in favor of a social safety net? Are you in favor of mental health care for everybody? Huh? Or is it conditional? You only want somebody to get mental health care if you approve of how somebody got damaged in the first place. Or what about equal protection under the law? Say one guy gets a little PTSD because he bombed the shit out of a bunch of innocent men, women, and children of brown color overseas from his bomber flying around with the Navy, or maybe he was a drone, one of those joystick warriors, right? This just wastes a bunch of kids. Just following orders. Just his job. But then he gets all mentally fucked. Oh, by the way, F-bombs drop on this program. So hide the children. F-bombs drop, but F-bombs don't kill people. Real bombs kill people. So So say you got PTSD because you were, you know, in uniform and you killed a bunch of people who weren't enemy combatants, or maybe you realize that you're in their country and they have a right to defend themselves, and you're there on behalf of multinational corporations. So now you're feeling bad, and now you got a little PTSD, and now you're all messed up, and maybe you can't work, and you apply for workman's comp. Should you get it? And how is that any different than Lieutenant Pike? Just doing his job. Got to get these hippies out of here. Let me water them down. Get these hippies out of here. They're protesting and stuff. We can't have that on campuses. It's an institution of higher learning. Right? How is that any different? I say it's not. And I say, all my lefty leftist friends let their emotional side take over, and they didn't think it through. Maybe you didn't think it through. I don't know. But I do think it's interesting. I mean, if you're for equality, then you're for, well, equality. You want an equal application of the law for everyone, even those people you despise. If you're for freedom of speech, then you want the government to allow people to speak in any way they care to speak, even if you find them just abhorrent. I mean, remember the KKK? I mean, I don't know, maybe you like the KKK. I don't know what you're doing listening to this show. But KKK back in the 70s, the Ku Klux Klan decided they were going to have a rally in Skokie, Illinois, suburb of Chicago, up north, full of Jewish people, and they decided they were going to have a rally. You know what? Supreme Court and the ACLU came down on their side. You know what? Go ahead with your free speech. Go ahead with your crazy stuff, because you know what? The antidote to free speech is more free speech, right? You don't like what somebody's saying? Make the argument. Make the argument, make it clear, make it a winning argument. So anyway, this thing was going around, maybe it was a week or two ago. Everybody's upset. UC Davis officer pepper sprays, gets $38,000 payout for mental trauma of being hated by the entire world. And he really is. I mean, there's a couple fascists somewhere that think he's great. Maybe you do, but I don't know why a fascist would be listening to this show. But for those of you, you know, those of you who consider yourself left, even just liberal, which I don't consider left, I consider it old school conservative, but that's another subject. But if you consider yourself liberal, you want social justice, you want a better world, you want things to be fair, you know, or if you're a radical, if you're a pinko commie, anarcho-syndicalist, lefty leftist, Che Guevara loving commie, you know what, I think you got to come down on the side of equal protection under the law. Even if the laws suck, that's a whole different issue. If the laws suck and why they suck. But this went to the appellate court. The appellate court gave them $38,000. And I think it was a right decision. I don't like this piece of vermin. I don't like him. I'd like to see him tried and convicted of assault and thrown in jail. I don't know, maybe give him 6 months, maybe give him 2 years. Take away his ability to ever wear a costume and a badge and carry a gun or carry pepper spray for that matter. But the $38,000, man, I'm all for it. He proved it in court. Even if it was kind of a kangaroo court, we don't know. We weren't there. I mean, I was upset with the O.J. Simpson verdict back in the 90s. I was like, damn. But you know what? He was found innocent by a jury of his peers. So, well, now he's in jail for something else, but What I'm just saying is equal protection under the law. So hate me if you want to for coming down on the side. I'm not on the side of the officer. I'm just on the side of equality. And in this case, the appellate court ruled he gets $38,000 for mental anguish for being hated by everyone for his assholery. Assholery at the highest level, I might add. Assholery at the highest level. Anyway, so that's my thought on that. And I just thought I'd share that with you. I got some other stuff to talk about. We will do that. But before I go, I'm going to take a little break because, you know, I got to smoke a cigarette, have a little wine, give you a break for a moment. Maybe you can go to the bathroom. You can get a cigarette. You can get some more wine. Settle in with the Pinko the Bear Show. I just want to remind everybody, this show is part of the Commons Project Network. PCPN, thecommonsprojectnetwork.com. We've got a bunch of lefty-leftist-type shows over there, The Authority Smashing Hour, Here Be Monsters, Carson's Corner, The Pinko the Bear Show. Dennis Trena Jr. posts his content. He's an activist and filmmaker. Lee Camp, comedian and activist as well. You can see it all. You can. It's basically an aggregator site. TheCommonsProjectNetwork.com. It's the Pinko the Bear Show. I'll be back in 4 minutes. I promise. Where's my song? Ooh, there's my song. There's my song. I might turn this up just a little bit. There we go. Check it. Strange way to end the song, but I kind of like it. It is Bingo the Bear Show. I'm glad you're here. It is my first show back in 3 months. I plan on being here every week for the next, I don't know, at least 7, probably 6 weeks. I'm up in Harlem with my friend for a couple of months, and I may be, who knows, maybe I'll move here. It's New York City. It's a lovely city. I was just down there by the World Trade Center. The new World Trade Center. Interesting place to be. I like it. I like it so far. Anyway, I want to take a moment to say happy birthday to one Eugene Victor Debs. Eugene Debs, yo. Yeah. While there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is an element, a criminal element, I am of it. And while there is a soul in prison, I am not free. Eugene V. Debs, socialist, founder of the Socialist Party, founder of the IWW, Industrial Workers of the World, organized the Pullman car strikes. Hell, he's the guy that helped to get you the 8-hour workday if you're so lucky as to still have one. There was a time in this country where we had 8-hour workdays, 8 hours for play, 8 hours for sleep, 8 hours for fun. Now we got 10-hour or 12-hour days. If the capitalists had their way, our kids would be working in the coal mines, going down, down, working in the coal mines. Ooh, my body slipped down. They would. If they had their way, we would be making as much as they do in, say, Vietnam or China or Bangladesh. Would be like $2.47 a day if they had their way. There would only be two classes, the ruling class and the ruled. Of course, that's kind of how it is now, but it would be more stratified than it is today. While there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is a criminal element, I am of it. And while there is a soul in prison, I am not free. Eugene V. Debs, happy birthday, brother. You know, he ran for president 4 times. And the next to last time that he ran, I don't know, was it 1920? Maybe it was 1916. He got nearly 1 million votes. He got 940,000, something like that. 940,000. I don't know. I've been drinking. He almost got 1 million votes. But the thing was, he got those votes while he was a convicted felon, while he was in the prison, while he was in a cage. Because he was talking about things that resonated with people. And the ruling class does not like that. They do not like people telling the truth. Thus, you don't get the truth on the TV machine. The TV machine is owned by the corporate hacks, the corporate ruling class. The hacks on the TV machine do their bidding. But every once in a while, a little bit of truthiness, breaks through on the corporate TV machine. Every once in a while, somebody tells the truth about something. And I'm really happy to see that. Now, about a week ago, Russell Brand, comedian, you know, the tall, skinny guy, kind of looks like, I don't know, Cat Stevens' younger brother, hippie brother. He got the beard and the long hair. Anyway, he was on the BBC and he did it was about a nine minute segment with a well-rated BBC talking head host. And I did not have the time to upload the clip because I was, eating food and drinking wine and hanging out with Nicole Tomasini. I see you in the chat room. How are you, darling? I see Gwen in the chat room. How are you, darling? So thank you for coming by and listening to me ramble on about stuff. Anyway, so Russell Brand basically said the same stuff that the rest of us have been saying, well, I've been saying it for a few years, but other people, 10, 20 years, other people, you know, 20, 50 years, 100 years, he's been saying the same thing Eugene Debs was saying. Fucking capitalism sucks. The ruling class sucks. The system sucks. I'm not going to vote for you people. I'm not going to vote for a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not going to vote for a Tory or a Whig or a Labor Party guy. No, I'm not going to play your goddamn reindeer games. And for good reason. They don't care about us. They don't work for us. They work for the people who pay their campaign bill. They don't work for us. They work for BP. They work for Chevron. They work for Monsanto. They work for Blue Cross Blue Shield. They don't work for us. This democracy thing is an illusion. Oh, well, you can't complain if you don't vote. Well, fuck. If you vote, maybe I shouldn't complain because you're the assholes that voted them in the first place. Anyway, so, but he was much more eloquent, and I'm sorry I don't have the clip. My guess is, if you're listening to the show, you've already probably heard the clip. He was extremely articulate and funny, and he went on for 9 minutes, and he got his platform, and he got it said. Don't vote for these scumbags. It's not in your best interest. No matter what they say on the TV machine, they are lying to you and they will screw you. Anyway, I was really happy to see him. I'm not a fan of his comedy. I just don't think he's that funny. I was like, really? You're going to redo Arthur? You're going to do better than Dudley Moore? Really? Okay, Helen Mirren was in it, and I thought, okay, I'll see it. No, it sucked. Okay, get me to the Greek. That was good. But I'm not a big fan of him, and I didn't know. I didn't know he thought this way. But he got on the TV machine, and he, for 9 minutes, he just nailed it. I mean, and it firestorm on the internet. The interwebs are alive with conversation about this, and I think that's a really good thing. I think it's a fantastic thing, getting the message out there. But, oh, my God, people went crazy. My friend, Evil Justin Jones, he says, what the fuck? Why do people automatically discredit people for being wealthy? The last I checked, Frederick Engels was wealthy and financed Karl Marx. Probably kept him alive for a long time. If someone is contributing political dialogue, critique their arguments, critique their words, not their financial or social status people. I mean, people do the same kind of character assassination shit with Chomsky. And Evil Justin Jones is exactly right. And so everybody's attacking him. Oh, he's a misogynist. He just bought a $2 million house or 2.2 up in the Hollywood Hills. Well, that'll get you a fucking shack. Have you been to the Hollywood Hills? 2.2 mil? Not all that impressive. Don't hate on someone. Besides, he's not part of the ruling class. He's not an employer. He's not the boss. He's an entertainer. He works for a wage. Be happy for somebody making a wage. But everybody lost their fucking shit on this guy. Everybody wanted to attack him. Oh, what do comedians know? What do they know? I wish they'd shut up. Well, really? Well, then, who's going to get on the TV machine and be that articulate? Who's going to get on the TV? They're going to give you a slot? They're going to give me a slot? They're going to give me 9 minutes to go on? No. Be happy. Take your allies where you can find them. Russell Brand is an ally. Yeah, he's got more money than we do right now. He may lose it all. Remember MC Hammer? Mike Tyson? Well, maybe Mike Tyson still has money. One of them other boxers. But you know what? You take your allies where you can. Don't attack the fucking messenger, okay? Attack the message. If you don't like the message, And believe me, he was just speaking the gospel truth. Well, maybe just the truth, because the gospel truth, maybe that's a contradiction in terms. But he was speaking the truth. And people wanted to give him a hard time. Oh, look at that hippie. What does he know? You know what? He knows a lot of shit. And guess what? This little 9-minute thing that he did on TV, this was not some awful, hallelujah, I'm on TV, I'm going to do this thing. Now, no, this guy has been pepper sprayed. He has been kettled. He has been to protest after protest. He has been there because he was dirt dick broke. Dirt dick broke. That's like way broker than just broke. Hell, he didn't even have a couch to go through the pillows and find change. He was broke, I'm telling you. And a drug addict, which is probably why he was broke. No, this is not a privileged Hollywood type. Right? This is not Michael Moore. Right? Michael Moore, man, he wears the baseball cap. Acts like he's you and me. Worth $40, $50, $60 million, I don't know. He's worth a shit ton of money. Way more than Russell Brand. Makes movies like Capitalism, A Love Story. All that's good, man. This is good stuff. Goes to Cuba, shows us how good their healthcare system is. Good stuff. Goes down to Wall Street and wraps it with a big yellow crime scene tape like the cops use. Good stuff. But then he turns around and says, vote for Obama. Vote for another shill, neoliberal shill. The killingest president in our history just loves to kill them brown people with drones. He's really good at it. No, this is a different kind of cat, man. This is a cat that I think he's on our side. He's not just trying to make money and then turn around and say, vote for another imperialist. Vote for another big business candidate, Goldman Sachs candidate in this last case. That's not Russell Brand. There's some people like, well, he's not even an American citizen. He shouldn't say anything. Fuck, what, America is the only place where people vote? No, it's no different in the UK. He doesn't vote in the UK because the Labour Party and the Tories. Are those the two parties, Labour and Tory? I don't follow that over there, but that English stuff that much. But anyway, the point is, it's the same rigged game. It doesn't matter if it's here, Canada, or Japan, Germany, any of the industrialized Western nations. It's all the same. It's all just it's just kabuki theater, and everybody wants to get down his face and give him a hard time because he's got a couple of dollars. And I just think it's bullshit. That's a technical term, bullshit, right? That's a technical term. I don't know if you heard that one before. So there's a movement, and I like it. My friend Terry Lee, she's basically an election boycott activist, and I'm down. Now, I've known Terry since, maybe 2008 when I got on Facebook. She was one of the first radicals that I met, and I had a bunch of liberal friends, and she didn't make a lot of sense to me. I was like, what are you talking about? Because I liked Rachel Maddow, and I liked Bill Maher, and I liked Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert and Tom Hartman and Randy Rhodes and all these liberal talkers and entertainers, and she just couldn't stand any of them, and she explained why. And it wasn't about the cut of their jib or their hair or the way they dressed or the way they laughed or the fact that, you know, I don't know, that they had a lot of money. It wasn't about that. It was because they were still pro-capitalists. They still were pro-neoliberal agenda. They were still pro-imperialism. Oh, they would maybe say a little something here and there. Well, we shouldn't kill so many of them. But that oil's still ours, right? Anyway, so she was one of, but she's, I met her up at the 2010 Socialism Conference up in Chicago. Had lunch with her and Margaret Flowers and Kevin Gostola, really interesting people. And some of the smartest people I've ever met, I met at the socialism conference. I didn't know what I was getting into when I went up there. You would be surprised how smart some of these people are. But anyway, she's behind this election boycott thing, and I think she's been saying what Brand just said for a long time, because when you do vote in a national election, I'm not talking about local elections. I think it's important who your mayor is, who's on your city council, your water board, county commissioner, school board. Oh, yeah, school board. That shit's important. But once you get to the national level, man, all bets are off. These people are bought and paid for long before they're installed as the candidate from either wing of the big business party, the Democrats or the Republicans. Oh, of course, people point to like Bernie Sanders and Dennis Kucinich, they used to, or Alan Grayson. And they point to them, oh, look at that, he speaks. They talk a good game. Or maybe a socialist candidate wins, I don't know, in Portland on city council, whatever. But you know what? Here's what she says. She says, the profits system, and capitalism, the profits system can afford a few sprinkles of alternative party wins here and there, as it has absolutely no impact whatsoever on the profit system itself. What this does, it keeps the left circling, toiling, and hoping as it remains attached to the electoral system of oppression. In fact, it could be argued that these small victories are actually serve the system itself, keeping us busy, keeping us optimistic, when in reality it's like trying to get somewhere using a fucking rocking chair. I think she said it really, really well. Yeah, they'll let you have your Bernie Sanders, they'll let you have your Alan Grayson, your Dennis Kucinich, they'll let you have on the other side some Ron Paul. They'll let you have a Jesse Ventura now and then. But you're never going to get a majority of those types of people. They won't let it happen. The profit system, they can afford little third-party wins. Oh, we got a green up in Maine. Oh, big deal. We got a green over here in, I don't know, Cleveland. Big deal. There's 50 in the Senate. They can let one or two slide. It keeps hope alive. Keep hope alive. Look at that. We got somebody real in the Senate. Bernie Sanders is my man. Oh, I love the way he talks. Can't pass anything in the Senate. He's not allowed. Oh, I said 50 in the Senate. We got 100, obviously. But I meant 50-50, you know, if it goes down the middle. Sorry about that. You know, it could be the wine. No, I just misspoke. It wasn't the wine. When it's the wine, I'll start, like, fumbling and like that, you know, speaking in tongues, as it were. But no, that was just a brain fart, yeah. So, yeah, they give us these little victories, and those things actually serve because it keeps us busy. It keeps us optimistic. You know, we're just, no. Get the vibe. This would be a great time to play that great video, this audio clip from George Carlin about voting and why he doesn't vote. And I don't know if you know this, but around the world, not voting is a strategy that's been employed and has been successful to bring down governments. You know, 4% of the people show up and vote, 9% show up, guess what? That's no vote at all. That's no confidence. And those governments crumble. And then you have a chance to replace it with something better. What do we have here? I don't even know the number. Maybe somebody in the chat room knows the number. But I think something like only 40-45% of the people that are registered to vote actually voted. I mean, there's a huge number of people that don't vote, and it's not because they're apathetic. Most of them aren't apathetic. Most of them have just figured out that the game is rigged, totally effing rigged, and they're just not going to play. And listen, when you vote in a national election, you are giving your consent. You're saying, I'm going to vote, let the chips fall where they may, and I'll just abide by your rule no matter what, no matter who wins. But wouldn't it be great if they gave an election and nobody showed? You know that old saying, well, what if they gave a war and nobody showed? What if nobody showed up to fight another imperialist or capitalist war, another ruling class war? If nobody fucking showed up, do you think the imperialists or the capitalists would fight it themselves? I don't think so. Well, what if they all ran and then nobody voted? Something to think about. I got a call from area code 661. We're going to take that call in about 3 minutes after some wise words from somebody I like very, very much. It's the Pink on the Bear Show. Do not go away. You've got nothing better to do. You really don't.
I sometimes feel like an alien creature for which there is no earthly explanation. Sure, I have human form walking erect with opposing digits, but my mind is upside down. I feel like a run-on sentence in a punctuation-crazy world, and I see the world around me like a mad collective dream. An endless stream of people move like ants on the freeway, cell phones, PCs, and digital displays. In money we trust, we'll find happiness, the prevailing attitude. Like a genetically modified irradiated Big Mac is somehow symbolic of food. Morality is legislated, prisons overpopulated, religion is incorporated, the profit motive has permeated all activity. We pay our government to let us park on the street. And war is the biggest money maker of all. We all know missile envy only comes from being small. Politicians and prostitutes are comfortable together. I wonder if they talk about the strange change in the weather. This government was founded by, of, and for the people, but everybody feels it like a giant open sore. They don't represent us anymore. And blaming the president for the country's woes is like yelling at a puppet for the way it sings. Who's the man behind the curtain pulling the strings? A billion people sitting watching their TV in the room that they call living. But as for me, I see living as loving. And since there is no loving room, I sit on the grass under a tree, dreaming of the way things used to be, pre-industrial revolution. Which of course is before the rivers and oceans and skies were polluted, before Parkinson's and mad cows and all the convoluted cacophony of bad ideas like skyscrapers and tree paper and earth rapers like Monsanto and DuPont had their way, as they continue to today. This was pre-us. Back when the buffalo roamed and the Indian's home was the forest and God was nature and heaven was here and now. Can you imagine clean water, food and air, living in community with animals and people who care? Do you dare to feel responsible for every dollar you lay down? Are you going to make the rich man richer or are you going to stand your ground? You say you want a revolution, a communal evolution, to be a part of the solution? Maybe I'll be seeing you around.
A little Woody, yeah. It is a Pink on the Bear Show. We got Zeno online on on the telephone, and we're going to bring him on in a second. Just one more little thing about Russell. He was speaking at the GQ's Man of the Year Award. Not that I give a crap about Gentlemen's Quarterly, but he was at their awards show, and he thought it would be funny because, you know, he is a comedian, to maybe make a joke about the fact that Hugo Boss, the event's sponsor, actually made a fortune. Made a fortune selling uniforms to Nazis. Fashionable Nazis they were, I tell you, Hugo Boss. You know, he thought it would be funny, which it was, unless you're an editor for GQ whose corporate sponsor you accurately linked to one of the most historic genocides in the history of mankind, via the Daily Mail. So while he was on stage, Brand told the gathered celebrities and the politicians, I can't do an English accent, but he said, if anyone knows a little bit about history and fashion, you know it was Hugo Boss who made the uniforms for the Nazis. And then he added, with less than subtle irony, but they look fucking fantastic. I mean, let's face it, while they're killing people on the basis of their religion and sexuality, they look fantastic. Of course, shortly afterwards, Brand was kicked out by the magazine's editor, Dylan Fucktard Jones. According to Brand's Twitter feed, the two men exchanged some angry words, and Jones said, "What you did was very offensive to Hugo Boss." And I think this is the best response ever. Brand turned around and said, "Well, what Hugo Boss did was very offensive to the Jews." And yeah, I think Russell Brand is exactly right. All right, so here we are. We're moving into hour two. I got a phone call. Area code 661. This would be Xenu.
Hey, yeah. Pinko. Good to hear you on again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, that was a great. Yeah, man, and it was great seeing your dispatches from the toaster. It was fun to keep up with that. And
from the toaster.
How was Burning Man?
Let's see. I hate to use the word epic because it's kind of overused, and awesome is overused, and fantastic is overused. So it was cool. I don't know if it was. I mean, it's always great. It's Burning Man is the highlight of my year every year. And it's the most ridiculous, out there, radically self-expressing myself. I don't know. I love it, and I encourage everybody to do it, though it is not for everyone. If you like to go to a timeshare in Maui and have drinks brought to you while you sit on the beach, it's not for you. But, man, for anybody with a soul, anybody who loves art and everybody who loves really letting loose, there's nothing like the Burning Man experience. And I had the added bonus of meeting a very, very wonderful woman this year. So life is good.
Oh, Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov!
Nice. Hey, if you're still in New York around April, they have the Left Forum over at Pace College in New York City. And that's usually pretty cool. That's not unlike the socialism conference that they have in Chicago. And it says the full spectrum of the left and radicals giving presentations.
I appreciate that. The Left Forum in April. I may be back here. I don't know how much I should say. Well, let's just say it. I'm here on my second date. My first date was 7 days at Burning Man with Trish. And now I am here at her place for 2 months as our second date. And things are going swimmingly, and it's possible that I will be living here in April. We'll see. I don't know how much I should say or not say. But, yeah, things are going good. I could be here. She actually went to the Left Forum last year. And so I suspect if I'm here, we'll definitely go. The other thing, you know what's coming up? At the end of this month, the end of November, there's an animated film with Chomsky. And it, I don't know the name of it, but it's a conversation with Noam Chomsky. And it's an animated film.
Mm-hmm.
And we have tickets to that. And supposedly, Uncle Gnome is going to be here for that. It's the closing night of the show. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. And one of the cool things about being in New York, there's all sorts of stuff. There was an ISO event the other night that we were going to go to, but we ended up going to a comedy show that her friend was in. A very funny guy. Anyway, we ended up doing that instead because I'd just gotten to town. I was like, really? We're going to get into politics already? Let's go have some fun. Because it's not my revolution if I can't have some fun. I'm just saying.
Or dance.
Yeah, or dance. Or dance, right? So
yeah,
you had,
the Gnomester was here in Gainesville a couple weeks ago and gave a talk, and that was pretty good.
Oh, Gnome came to Gainesville. Tell. Please tell.
Yeah, he gave a talk on the media prism and foreign policy and national policy and the media prism or something it was called. And it was very much in line with his work with Edward Herman on manufacturing consent,
right,
and a lot of his work on the media and everything that he's done over the years. And he really got into foreign policy and what's going on with America and Israel and the Middle East and everything. And it was a really great talk, you know. And unfortunately, you know, the first question that he gets at the end when it's time for Q&A is a truther talking about Building 7.
I was just
and it
talking
ends to... with a guy talking about ending the Fed.
About what? Ending the Fed?
Yeah.
It's funny. I was just talking about Building 7 tonight over at Nicole's house, our friend's house. I don't even want to get into that. But yeah, the things everybody loves to like rag on Chomsky about is a soundbite taken out of context about 9/11 as an inside job, about the Khmer Rouge and the number of bodies, and about the number of bodies from World War II, the Jewish body count, and what else did they get on them? There's one other thing, but in context, it all makes perfect sense. But you know, people see a 30-second video clip on YouTube and they've done their research, and now they're a Chomsky hater. Just. It's silly.
I find it very interesting that one thing that they never catch him on that he has talked about in depth, and I think Finkelstein has as well, is Zionist collaboration with the SS during the Holocaust, and how Israel is very culpable for a lot of deaths during the Holocaust, because they basically, the Zionists that were busy stealing the land from the Palestinians had no interest in saving all the European Jewry that were trying to escape from the Nazis. And there's all this, you know, I think nobody ever calls them on it because there's lots of documented evidence of this very, very dark chapter of history. It really shows that the Zionists made a deal with the SS that unless those trains were taking people to Palestine, the people that were being deported from Poland and from the other places, they were like, we don't want them. And there's a famous letter from a rabbi trying to call out to the Zionist organizations in Israel trying to get help, and they're like, hey, you know, we got no time to help you, we're busy building Israel, you know.
Wow.
And really, I'm so surprised that nobody says that to Chomsky and is like, how dare you point that out, because it's so damning on the Israeli side.
I've never heard that before. I've heard that those who controlled, the Arabs that controlled much of the Middle East at the time, that they were collaborators. But I had never heard that Zionists, because this was pre the state of Israel, I'd never heard that the Zionists, or that there were some. But that doesn't surprise me. I mean, we had Americans that were fully supporting the fascists as well, right? You know, Henry Ford and Preston, Prescott Bush. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me. So you had mentioned, changing subjects, getting back to the other one, you had mentioned Russell Brand. when we were in
this
the
whole
choir
thing's
staff.
Been very embarrassing. Yes.
Well, expound, my friend. Oh, by the way, I should say this is Derek from the Xeno, from the Authority Smashing Hour. The Authority Smashing Hour, heard on Blog Talk Radio. How many times a week and when?
We are on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, once a week. We are on for the full hour.
Excellent. You just got to plug your show, and you're part of the Commons Project Network, which I like as well. So,
yes, it's a very cool project, and I really like the website.
Excellent. Well, kudos to David Williams for handling the website for us. And I feel a little weird because I've been out of the loop for 3 months. Mm-hmm. I was just going to go to Burning Man, but then it became a 2-month thing, and then I took some time off, and then when I came back, I was working six shifts a week, 12 hours. There was no time for a show or TCPN, but I got time now. So are you getting the same, are you seeing the same kind of reaction online from supposed leftists and liberals and radicals?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, where's the nuance? You know, why can't we have it both ways? Why can't we talk about what he brought up legitimately and legitimately criticize all the problems that there are with his politics, with his gender politics, with his misogyny, with his sexism, and all this? The attacking him for his money, I thought, was really low and pathetic, and I saw when evil Justin Jones posted that stuff, and that made me think automatically, you know, Kropotkin was a prince, for fuck's sake, and he's one of the founders of
anarchism, right?
Just the whole thing is just like, it's really petty, you know, and I feel like it's very hipsterish, you know, because it's, you know, it's all this posturing, you got to attack the guy, and I really feel like, yeah, we radicals, we're all for revolution before Brand made it cool, you
right.
know, and I think, you know, pointing it out makes us sound like hipsters, you know, and I really think that impotent leftists are really jealous of Brand's attention here. And it's
infinite,
like, why can't we criticize the guy?
Impotent leftists. Impotent leftists. I like that. I like that phrase, man. I'm gonna steal that. You don't mind if I steal that, do you?
Go for it.
I like
it. You know, it's like Libcom wrote a really good piece on the really taking a nuanced position on, you know, just not attacking the messenger and just paying attention to the message and the window that this opens for discussion with people who are non-radicals. Basically,
right.
You know, the problem is that we had a situation here where we're opening up a space to talk to non-radicals, and people are hearing talk of revolution. They're hearing about it. They want to see, oh, maybe I want to hear more about it. What does people who really believe this stuff really say about it? And what would they find if they go online and find about it? They would just see people hating on Russell Brand. And it's just so petty and pathetic. And
yeah.
I think even Fire Dog Lake had a piece on that too. And we ranted about it quite a bit on our show. And
it seems to be the topic.
Really crazy.
It does seem to be. It was mind blowing. And I got jumped on a little bit here and there, and that's all right. And I made my position and whatever, and people jump, and that's fine. But I guess when we're trying to, you know, put ourselves out and think things through and make it clear and clear and concise and truthy, that's, you know, people are I lost a friend over it.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's a guy that I talked to on the phone several times, and I really, you know, we get along and our politics appear to be the same, but, you know, he just can't understand how I could not be mad that he bought a $2.2 million house. And I'm sorry, I just, you know, in when the world crumbles and when there's an actual, you know, classless society, when people get their shit together, fine. Nobody's going to have a $2.2 million house when somebody else lives in a shipping crate. You know, that won't happen. But this is what it is, and it's not like he's making his money off the backs of poor, you know, children that are sewing Nike shoes in Bangladesh. You know, he's not exploiting anybody. He's telling fart jokes and being silly. And
yeah, and they're doing the exact opposite of what radicals should be doing, which is getting to the root of the issue. Instead, they're making it about the person. They're making this about Russell Brand when this could be about what Russell Brand said and take it from there.
Absolutely.
And it's like, why are you obsessing about Russell Brand? And, you know, it's just like, I feel like only self-marginalized people would want to shit all over this. I mean, here we have a moment where we're seeing this really is a sign that these things are seeping into the mainstream. You know, we really have Occupy Wall Street to thank for that, given this talk of being class. I mean, how much more, you know, nakedly do people have to talk about class issues? I mean, a lot more, obviously. But this is progress.
Yeah.
And it clearly shows that people are on the side of this. People understand. And what he did really well, Russell Brand, was he described what is exactly wrong with this system. And he rightfully pointed out that it is not his responsibility. The onus is not on him to suggest a utopian system that works to supplant capitalism, which clearly does not work and is the slavery
right.
of our time that will doom our entire species to
right.
extinction. It's like, I like to point this out that nobody ever pointed to the abolitionists during slave times and said, yeah, okay, that's all and good. You want to abolish slavery, but what's the alternative? You know, what are you propping up in place of it?
What are all these people going to do for a living if they're not slaves?
Yeah.
We treat our slaves better because, you know, is it better to buy or to own? See, is it better to rent or to own? If you rent a car, if you rent a cotton gin, you're not going to take care of it because you're just renting it and you can return it all damaged. But if you own it, you're going to take care of it. You're gonna oil it. You know, you're gonna repair it. I mean, that was the fucking argument that a lot of people were making, that slavery was better than than actually working as a wage slave. They said, well, we treat our slaves well, we feed them and water them and give them a place to live and they're better off. I mean, they made that argument. It's insane. And I don't know.
They made the argument that we would be worse off as free Americans as for white men. They would tell white men that, you know, if we get rid of slavery, we'll be stuck with wage slavery, which will be even worse.
Wow.
And you know what? God damn it, we got it. We're all wage slaves now. We're all
aren't we though? Aren't we though? Yep. Yeah. And this is the crazy thing, and I've said it on my show. I'm sure you have too. I mean, we grow up in this environment, and so we assume that it is the normal, God-appointed way. You know, this capitalism. Well, of course, this is the way things should be. It's just natural, and there's nothing natural about it. I mean, I go back to you can go back and read the letters in England in the late 1600s, and all these peasants were living on this land and subsistence living, and you know, they were drinking and farming and taking care of business and having a good time. And well, they needed people to work in the factories. So, well, what do? Take their land away, and now they got nowhere to work. So they drove them into the cities where they had to work in the factories. Capitalism is not like something that's just natural and normal. It is a man-made creation. Men of the ruling class, and now women too, Hillary. It's not natural, and I think a couple hundred years from now, or maybe 50 years from now, at some point in our history, if we live that long as a species, people will look back and go, what the hell were these people thinking? You know, $8.25 an hour full time at Walmart, the largest employer in the United States. You know, 320 million people, and Walmart's the number one, and they pay $8.25 an hour, and they have to get food stamps and other government programs to help them survive. What kind of system is that? It's insane.
And the other thing to point out to people is that none of this is voluntary. You know, working is not voluntary. It's wage slavery. It's called that for a reason. You work,
right.
You work, you rent out your labor capacity, your labor value for a wage, or you starve to death and die. That is a functional threat of structural violence that you will be forced to starve and die, because let's face it, the property rights, property and ownership, the way it works is property is kept away from other people who do not own property by the state. So therefore,
yep,
people are forced to starve by the state, keeping the food away from them. You know, because otherwise you have to have money to buy food. And, you know, the whole point I always like to point out is there's more than enough food for everybody. There is no shortage of food. There's actually an overabundance of food. And that even goes for the third world. And it's all just about distribution. And really, the distribution model we have is a redistribution of all wealth and everything to the top 1% of the 1%. You know, everything floats to the top, unfortunately. And something I kind of wanted to point out, I didn't know if you got into this on the show yet, was about our dear leader, the Nobel Prize winner, Dalai Obama, as Paul Street likes to call him. He, according to this new book called Double Down, it's about the 2012 election, and basically Obama told his aides that he's, quote, really good at killing people while he was discussing drones and the drone strikes. So here we have multiple admonitions and admissions of war crimes. And, you know, I like to point out to the right-wingers, you know, where are you? Where are your calls for his impeachments for war crimes? You know, you look at his kill list. Assassinations, which are illegal under any context, double taps, you know, killing unidentified targets based on behavior, not even on their identity. They're actually killing people based on their gait and their behavior. And, you know, killing children, classifying them as militants, the NSA spying, name your pick, you know, pick your poison here. The torturing of Gitmo hunger strikers, these are all impeachable offenses, if that ever mattered, you know. But, you know, where
we live in a democracy, man. Just get out there and vote for more Democrats.
Yeah, it's good for Hillary, you know.
Hey, when did you get so articulate, man? You're killing me. I love it.
I'm on a roll.
You're on a roll.
It's just the righteous indignation, man. You know, you just really look at this. It's like how upset people are. You know, and I've got people in my family that are right-wingers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And unfortunately, and, you know, it's like the biggest, worst thing that is happening is that this unstoppable Kenyan Muslim antichrist Marxist socialist is enslaving white people with a health insurance mandate as reparations for slavery.
Oh,
and he wants
to take
their guns. That's all I hear.
I know. I've been driving a cab for the last 6 months, well, other than my time off at Burning Man, and I never say anything because this is not, you know. But I'm standing in line the other night. It was my last night at work, and it was a huge night. We had the zombie crawl. It's kind of a big deal. It gives all the people who don't go out drinking an excuse to dress up and come out to all the bars and just get wasted. There's thousands of people downtown, and I made twice as much money. I was just killing it. And so there's this huge long line, and we're checking out. And I hear one guy going off about Obama and forcing healthcare on us and stuff. And I was like, you know, this is my last night. I got to speak up, right? And I was like, really? Anyway, I probably shouldn't get into the whole conversation, but I just let them have it, both fucking barrels, and really loud. And, you know, 25 people heard it, and it was like, I think it's really, to know what you're talking about is really important, because you get those little golden moments, you get that opportunity to have a conversation with somebody. Even if that person doesn't get it, maybe the person listening gets it. And I think that's why probably you do your show, why I do my show, that's why we do what we do. You never know where somebody is on the spectrum, and maybe the person that you're chatting with about something online on Facebook or even, you know, in the cab stand or at the dinner table or whatever, maybe you won't change that person's mind. But if you articulate it well and it's an airtight argument, then maybe somebody will start to think a little more, a little deeper, and start to come to the light, come to the left.
And I think as hard as it is, I think we still have to be respectful, at least to respecting the human dignity of the unstable right-wing person that is ranting at us.
Yeah.
And, you know, pick your battles, but, you know, be understanding, but, you know, just don't be an asshole about it.
I'm guilty of that. I'm just done. Like, really? Are we doing that again? I'll just start, you know, calling them names. I know I shouldn't call them tea baggers. I should call them, you know, tea partiers.
They coined tea baggers first. They called themselves tea baggers first until they found out what tea bagging meant.
Right. I know. I mean, that's how clueless, right? But, you know, when I was thinking about that, I'm not a fan of the ACA. I mean, it's a Republican Heritage Foundation or Enterprise Institute, one of those. It's a right-wing think tank giveaway to the corporations.
I'm against that mandate big time.
Yeah.
I'm all
down with the single payer. Let's just have Medicaid or Medicare for all. Change a couple of words. Instead of 65, make it zero, and then everybody's covered, everybody in, nobody out. And do away with the for-profit pay-or-die system. I'm all for that. And so I'm against Obamacare, but not for the same reasons that these other people are against it. And it's hard. It's really hard to be nice. I mean, I don't want to only preach to the choir on my show because I need more people in the choir singing a glorious song. I mean, we all have our different parts to sing. But I just sometimes lose it. Hey, I let me ask you, did you see this thing about Northwestern University and their football thing?
I was not sure what that was about. I was kind of trepidatious about clicking on it.
Go ahead and stay online, stay on the phone. But I want to talk about this for a second and throw it out there and then maybe get your comments after. If anybody else wants to call in, they can as well. What is this number? 646-200-4444, 646-200-4444, the Pink of the Bear Show. I'm going to put your mic on mute for a moment. Let me run this thing down, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. How's that? Sound good?
All right.
All right. Sounds good. There's just a little background noise. Since we're coming into, we only got about a half hour left, I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about this. This really pissed me off today. And I woke up early. I'm on a different schedule, being up here with my friend. And I woke up early, and one of the first things I saw, the headline is Northwestern honors wounded troops with gore porn football uniforms. And you see this guy in his football uniform, you know, it's a head and shoulders shot, and he's got his hands out, and he's got gloves on, and they're red, white, and blue, like American flags. And then on the white stripes, on one hand, there's a bunch of blood splattering, you know, the paint splattering from the red stripes, representing the sacrifice that the troops made. So basically, the company Under Armour, they're, you know, sports gear suppliers, right? They're for people who think that Nike just isn't crass or hideous enough. So Under Armour is helping the Northwestern University football team pay tribute to the country's war casualties by dressing the players in special flag patterned uniforms smeared with fake blood. And by the way, folks, here's the thing. If you really want one of these, if you buy one of these for yourself or for your, you know, soulmate or your kids, Under Armour is going to donate a whole $7.49 to the Wounded Warrior Project. Anyway, there's a bunch of pictures of these uniforms, and there's just fucking blood splattered all over, and they're going to play football on probably on TV with these fucking uniforms. They'll be wearing these special uniforms against Michigan on November 16th, right? I mean, I look at this, and yeah, they're ugly, and they're kind of gross, and this looks like something you'd have in a video game. This is such... It's so repugnant to me. If you could see the pictures, deadspin.com, deadspin.com. If you saw these pictures, you'd be like, who the fuck thought this would be a really good idea? They're kind of gray uniforms with the red, white, and blue on the shoulders and on the butt and the socks and the gloves and the helmet and the blood splattering all over it. And this is how they're going to honor wounded warriors. And I just think it's jingoistic, nationalistic, it's propaganda, it's insane. I mean, it's I don't did it jump the shark. I don't know what I don't even know how to describe it. But I was looking at it, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was the Onion. Oh, Deadspin? Never heard of it. Deadspin.com. And so I thought, well, you know, this must be a joke, right? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, I posted it, I shared it, and I was like, no, this can't be real, this is bullshit. And then I thought, well, I better go check, because I don't want to be caught, like, putting out stuff that's not real, right? I don't want to be that guy that posts a picture of something that is purportedly this when it's really that, and it's all bogus. So I went, nothing but real sports stories. You know, we should pass more, this team should fire the coach, and well, this guy is setting a record. Just nothing but regular sports stories. And so it's not a joke. It's not satire. And it's just, I just thought it was probably the worst story, worst idea, and just pure propaganda and bullshit. And it just made me crazy today. And after all this time, it's been about 12 hours since I posted it. Nobody's debunked it, so it looks to be real. And I don't know. Would you watch a football game, knowing what's going on with the uniforms and such? Derek?
Wow! You know? I just saw the pictures. Wow!
Yeah, right.
Wow! Like, really? That's pretty sad.
I mean, I watch football because my dad is in his 70s. And he's done. He's like, hey, man, this protesting thing, you know, that's you. That's you. I'm old, and I'm going to do what I do. And that's, you know, because he's, you know, limited amount of time, right? So I watch football with him. And basically I don't feel, you know, anything about it. It's like a bunch of millionaires that work for billionaires to suck the money out of the wallets of hundredaires and thousandaires. I'm like, whatever. I'm just not into it. Plus all this God Bless America and Star Spangled Banner and support to troops and halftime shows, you know, jingoistic and military to begin with. That shit's bad enough. And now there's going to have a game with blood splattered uniforms. I mean, it's hard to comprehend that this is even real.
Nationalism is the measles of mankind, I believe Einstein once said. You know, it's an infantile disorder. I mean, this is clearly derangement on a national scale. You see it with America, you see it with Israel, and both our populaces and our politicians. And, you know, this is what you get in a country where you have kill lists and drone bombs and all these kinds of things, you know, and it's just... Wow.
Yeah.
It's not surprising, and yet it is surprising when you see it.
No, but I mean, if somebody told me that this was a real story and I didn't read it and then check out the rest of the website, I would swear there's no fucking way they would go that far, right? Let's have the Jets fly over. Let's, you know, have all the veterans stand and sing God Bless America, thank you for your service. Let's have all – I mean, I get that's been going on for, you know, what, 10, 12 years now. I get it that that's part of the sports, you know, thing. But my God, this is – I don't know. I'm almost – well, obviously, I'm speechless. I'm speechless. It's just fucked up.
No, I was just so trepidatious about – hitting that link, you know, and I saw it and I was like, huh, my gut is psychic. That was very horrific to behold. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, I wanted to put it in the chat room, but I see Gwen is in the chat room, so she's logged in under her account. I'm using her account, so I can't chat in the chat room. I can't post anything, even as the host, because Gwen is in there. Oh, look, David is here. David Williams from the CommonProjectsNetwork.com. David is our go-to guy for all things web over at TCPN. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Zenu from Authority Smashing Hour, who is so gracious as to chime in and call in tonight. I appreciate that. Oh, look, my buddy from Hawaii, Ryotan22. What's up, John? Good to see you. Got a couple of guests here. Nicole Tomasini. Nice. Anyway. Nice.
Yeah, nice. Somebody on the board put a link to the article. Yeah.
Yeah. But there is some good news. I don't know if you saw this, but so in Spain, man, they're not really happy. There's a street sweepers are on strike in Spain. Spain's got all sorts of problems, as we know. Covered on my show, I'm sure you covered on yours. But I love this solution. They're not only on strike, but they're encouraging people to take their trash from their homes to the nearest bank and then just pile up the trash in front of the bank, right in front of the door, on the sidewalk. Just pile your shit up right in front of the banks. Because the banksters have screwed that country just like they're screwing so many other ones. I don't know if you saw that picture or heard about that campaign, but I thought it was priceless. Priceless.
That is something to do, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
they're easy to do.
These little acts of civil disobedience, man, it's one thing to sit here and you know, scream and yell and say, oh, look at that, how bad that is. But getting out and doing stuff, whether it's a comedic thing like the Yes Men or Lee Camp or Dennis Traynor, I mean, there's things to do. You don't have to be always just marching around with a picket sign, right? But you can make your point in a lot of different ways. Black Bloc likes to make their point their way. But I love this. I just love this trash piled up in front of the bank. It makes me happy. And hopefully the street sweepers will get some concessions and the rest of the people with different jobs who are getting screwed will join in the merriment, and we can overthrow this fucking capitalist pig system one day.
Yeah, you know, it's going to collapse on its own weight to some great degree, and it needs help getting pushed over just as much as we need to do more to push, you know, for these breaks and fissures in the class war and kind of open up new fronts on the class war. And, you know, because this is a war that they started, they committed every day against us with the very system of oppression, economic oppression and social oppression that they have over us with the existence of a class system. And it's like, they call it class war when we complain about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, where's the guillotines, man? You know? I mean, at this point, I wouldn't advocate it, but I wouldn't be against it.
Hey, you're already on the list. Go ahead and advocate it. It's okay. No, it's funny. I clicked on a link and it said, the title was, "Is it time to bring back the guillotine?" And I clicked on it because I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, right? And then they're talking about like, well, we got all these prisoners, and we got to execute them, and we don't have the electronics fries their bodies, and they can't donate body parts when you inject them with this stuff, and maybe we should just cut their heads off because it would be simpler and easier and cleaner, and then you can still have, you know, organ donating and stuff. And I just thought, that's not the article I wanted to read. When I saw, is it time to bring back the guillotine, I was like, is it time for these motherfucking banksters to have their heads cut off? That's the article I wanted to read, but it wasn't
I know,
there.
Right? That was a hell of a tease. That was a hell of a bait and switch.
I just was like, so let down. It's like I went to a club and I picked up a beautiful girl and she had a dick. I was like, what? You know, I was just, no. This is not what I really wanted to see. But I was very disappointed in that headline and then the delivery. It just didn't do it for me.
I get what the article was going for, but really, it really shows what reformism and the liberal solutions will get you, and that really you're going to argue that given that, well, we have the death penalty and execution, well, let's just make it more humane. How about we get rid of the death penalty altogether? Bring out the guillotine for the bankers, you know?
I got an idea. I'm going to steal from you, but I'm just going to be nice about it and steal less. What? I thought it was insane. So what's going on down in you're down in Florida. Were you in Tampa? Are you? Where are you? What's going on in Tampa on the radical front, man? What are you doing? Food not bombs, getting arrested?
Yeah, we got food not bombs here. We have a solidarity network. We've been, working through the IWW. There's a couple branches here in Florida.
Yeah.
And really trying to get that going and fight back here. And, as far as, the fight for 15 kind of,
What's that?
What the SEIU and a lot of the business unions were pushing for $15
an
hour
raise,
for fast food workers, and they were getting workers to do walkout strikes, and I had a lot of mixed feelings with that.
Yeah,
and,
I'm happy for the fight for 15, but I think the better fight is how about we don't have wages at all and we all just, produce, go to work and produce for use value. Maybe steps. That reminds me, there's a really interesting, since I'm in New York now, there's an interesting paper here called the BQ Brew. It's bqbrew.com, and it's run by a Facebook friend named Manny, who's actually a real-life friend of Trish here in New York, and she turned me on to it. And he was just running a story about fast food strikes, fight the slide into junk wages for all of us. And it's interesting. I mean, you don't see this on the regular news, but there are folks that are walking out and striking at the different franchise stores, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, KFC, all these grease-slinging corporations. Thousands of people are protesting the low wages that are basically dished out by the biggest names in the industry. And they have one common demand, man, $15 an hour and the right to unionize. So for those who think that nothing is going on because Brian Williams doesn't tell you what's going on the news, shit like this is happening. 400 people show up at a fast food restaurant or at different fast food restaurants all around New York City. They carry the sign saying, "I am a man, I am a woman." Now, these are the signs that they used during the garbage collector strike in Memphis, where Dr. King was shot. They all had the "I am the man," or "I am a man," mm-hmm. "I am a woman" signs. So this stuff is happening, and for people who don't know that it's happening or they think it's all lost and it'll never get better, there are people making a difference showing up and doing this kind of stuff. Anyway, the article has all sorts of statistics. Thank you, Lord, for letting me speak in tongues. That would be the wine. It has all sorts of numbers about how shitty things are getting. The wages going down, productivity going up, the profits at the top and people having to go for government assistance for these kind of jobs. Wage theft at these places is rampant. I don't know. I just wanted to give a shout out.
Yeah, wage theft is an epidemic in this state, and that's something we're organizing to fight.
Good, yeah. I just want people to know that there are people out there working on this stuff, and we need your help. And the BQ Brew.com, I think, is a good source, particularly if you're in New York. I posted a few different articles out of it this week, and I look forward to meeting Manny while I'm here. So that's gonna be one of my things when I'm here. If it's New York, man, I'm gonna find some more allies. And if I move here, I'll be missing my folks back in Reno, but it'll be nice to have a larger pie, you know, here, and more people to get together with and try to make a difference.
Absolutely. You know, that's a great way to go. And what I always try to tell people is, you know, not only is all these things are going on, all this resistance to the status quo is going on, but it's like, if you feel like you see these good models, you see how these things are doing, and it's like, but there's nothing near you, start one yourself. You know, start something yourself. That was a great thing I liked about Occupy. People saw that there was no Occupy by them, they started an Occupy.
Right. And even out of Occupy, I mean, my friends, Ben, Katie, Mark, if you're listening, they started a nonprofit called RISE, the Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality. What we were doing is taking our food, our excess food from our camp, down and serving, you know, chili or whatever, spaghetti, whatever we had on Saturdays to the homeless population. And then when our camp got broken up, we continued to do that every Saturday. We would cook in this little one-bedroom apartment, in this little tiny efficiency kitchen. We would cook and bring it all down. And now, what's it, 2 years later, they just got certified. I was invited to be on the board and stuff, and I'm going to do this other thing instead. So I didn't do it, but I was always present. But now they've gotten certified by the state as an official 501c3, so they can get more money. And they've got it going with the website. People can sign up for the days, and you know, different groups can come in. And so now we're not cooking. All we're doing is showing up, bringing the tables and the utensils and the plates and the hot burners and such. But the community is starting to get involved. And I don't know. So there's a lot of that's just one example of something good. There's Occupy Sandy. There's Occupy Your Home. There's all these different things that have come out of Occupy. And if people think it's dead, it's not. It's just people have moved on to other specific goals, other specific topics, and places where there's a need. And I think that's a really good thing. Sorry.
Absolutely. I was very, very impressed by Occupy Sandy and this anniversary that's come up. You see little to no mention of Occupy Sandy in the mainstream press, where you had grassroots organizers doing more than FEMA and the National Guard and Red Cross. You know, this was like, oh, these dirty hippies and all this crap, you know, and these people were doing the real shit, you know, they were doing the real work. And, you know, it's like, but the thing is, you don't get credit, you don't get press for these kinds of things. And, you know, you really shouldn't seek it. But, you know, it's always nice to see that people notice that these things are happening. But that's why, you know, I think alternative press is really good. And it's been very unfortunate that indie media has really been collapsing in the last couple of years. But, we really need to get out the word of all our projects, you know, that are going on.
Do you think indie media has been collapsing? I don't know that I've
some
seen
of the
it.
certain indie media branches, some of the networks that have been around are closing up, or they're just not being able to go as far as they used to, or go as far as they can politically and radically and everything. And it's the limitations of the media model in general, in trying to apply a radical praxis to it.
Yeah, you're talking about commercial media. Is that what you're talking about?
like.
Well, I'm talking the indie media websites and the blogs and stuff. They used to be different branches. People would open up an indie media in their city to cover their protests and to cover radical news and everything. And it's really going to the wayside now because I think it's because of the structure of the internet and for-profit media.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's like you're never going to be able to get your voice out there enough.
Well,
and that's why it was important for Russell Brand to make his comment.
I believe that, too. I mean, we started the Sierra Mountain Anti-Capitalist Collective, a few Occupy people, some IWW and some other radical kids. And we were putting out a zine once a month, but a couple of the key people moved away to be more active in larger markets. And I don't know where that stands right now because I've been gone for 3 months. But that's indie media, but at a real street level. But I think the internet has given voice, access, my show, your show, the Commons Project Network, my friends put together. Then there's, Lee Camp or Dennis Traynor. There's a bunch of Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese over at popularresistance.org. Anybody listening that has not been to popularresistance.org should go there. There is just a plethora of excellent news and analysis about stuff you should be aware of. If you're not an activist now, start reading that. Believe me, you will become one once you understand how serious this shit is. Popularresistance.org. And for those who don't know, Kevin and Margaret came out of what was it called? It wasn't called Occupy DC. They had another name. But it was at the same time. It was like,
Tip of the brain.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's it's something resistance. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But there are voices out there. And I think if we all support each other, and I really appreciate you calling in tonight, made my night easy. But we all support each other and do this kind of thing together and support each other and cross promote. Everybody's got their own style, everybody's got their own certain things they want to talk about or do talk about. And I think that's one of the great things about TCPN. We don't have enough voices on it yet. We've got about six, but we need more, you do what you can do, with what you got when you got it.
Absolutely. And,
right.
It's like, I really like what the Commons Project Network is trying to pull together a community here and of different like-minded and all these types of shows that we have and really kind of keep getting a network, really trying to put this together, not unlike the Young Turks and other people on YouTube have channels and have all these shows that they produce and stuff.
And I think it's really clear, if you want to tell the truth about anything, there's no way in hell you're ever going to have commercial sponsors. You're not going to be on ABC, CBS. You're not going to be on any network or any cable, maybe access cable. But if you want to reach the whole entire spectrum, not just in your own small town with access cable, you got to be on the net, and you got to be out there. And I hope. I mean, I don't know. I could die and nothing could change. But I hope that things get better in the next, 20, 30, 40 years that I might be alive. I don't know that it will, but I know that it won't get better if more of us don't speak up, get informed, and be able to articulate the positions and just be there. Because when shit collapses, people are going to want answers. People who have never thought about anything, I got my TV and my Honey Boo Boo and my Dancing with the Stars. People who have never really thought about it, and all of a sudden they're going to be looking for answers. So I think it's important that there's a lot of us that have the correct answers, because if we're not there for them, the billionaires and the killionaires of this world, the ruling class, will have incorrect answers that can take us down a very, very, very dark path.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me call in and spend the time with you. I'll let you go and finish off the show.
All righty, my friend. I appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. You made my night.
All right. Peace out.
Peace out. That is Zeno. He runs the Authority Smashing Hour along with his partner, who I believe, I'm not even going to say, I can't remember right the name, your partner's name. But anyway, Authority Smashing Hour on the Blog Talk Radio platform, where you're hearing this show as well. So that was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate everybody listening, everybody in the chat room coming out. I mean, this is the first show in, I don't know, 3 months, and hopefully it will be a regular thing. At 9 p.m. Pacific, not midnight Pacific, as it has been for years, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern time, Wednesday morning or Tuesday night, if you want to call it Tuesday night. Anyway, for all things kind of lefty-leftist, little lefty-leftist ear candy for the choir, it is the Pinko the Bear Show. I love you. I love you all. But I got to go. And here's a little song for ya. You're gonna like it.
Arise, ye workers from your slumber. Arise, ye prisoners of want. That's right. For reason in revolt now thunder. Chains of hatred, greed, and fear. Ha ha! Away with all your superstitions. Serve our masters. Arise, arise. We'll change henceforth the old tradition and spurn the dust to win the prize. So comrades, come on and rally. Then the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The whole darn human race. No more deluded by reaction. On tyrants only we'll make war. The soldiers too will take strike action. They'll break ranks and fight no more. And if those cannibals keep trying to sacrifice us to their pride, each at the fort must do their duty. And we'll strike while the iron is hot. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole beautiful human race. So comrades, come on, let's go rally. Ha! And the last fight, let us face. The international unites the whole darn human race.
Good night, everybody. That's Tony Bambino. He'll be here next week as well. Love you. Love you all. Revolution!